broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're grateful for the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a very interesting guest now. He had me on his show Saturday evening, and I wanted to reciprocate and have him on our show today. His name is Stuart Howe, and he's the host of the White Rose Resistance Hour on republicbroadcasting.org. It's an award-winning broadcast every Saturday evening, or I should say afternoon, really. 4 in the afternoon Central Time. No, let me start over. 6 in the afternoon Central Time. 5 Mountain Time. And anyway, it's just a phenomenal show and really focuses on some of the key principles that America needs to fight for. And Stuart has a fascinating story about who he is and what he's done, how he got into the sacred cause of liberty and more. Stuart, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, thank you, Sam. Thanks for having me on. It's a privilege and an honor to be on the show with you.
All right, let's catch us up on you. You grew up in California?
Yeah, Southern California, Venice Beach. They used to call it Dogtown back when I was coming up during that era. Absolutely.
And then what'd you do? You made a living and life just went on peacefully at first, right?
You know, all I wanted to do was surf and party and, meet girls. And that was great for a while. I worked in a lot of restaurants and, everything around the beach, surfing culture. I was in the ocean every morning that the surf was good at dawn. And that was great. And then I decided I wanted to make more money. And I had bought a little Toyota pickup truck and I loved it. And the guy that told me how much he made when I bought it, the salesman I bought it from, I thought, oh my God, that's 10 times the money I'm making. This was back in the early 80s, and the guy was making over $10,000 a month. So I thought, I can sell these Toyotas. It's a good product. So I went and I did that, and then I ended up buying a Porsche, and I went to Beverly Hills Porsche, and I started seeing the dark, seedy side of the moneyed world. And everything was moving along rather smoothly until 9/11. And that was a big slap in the face and a wake-up call and kind of shook me out of my slumber. I just didn't ever want to have anything to do with organized religion, politics, any of the establishment stuff. But once I saw the machinations and the con artistry of media and government after 9/11, it really upset me and made me feel like I had to do something about that.
You know, that's when a lot of people got woke up. And I hate to use the woke term now because they take every single word we use. Gay used to mean happy, and now look at it, and you say,
yeah,
hey, you woke up, and now woke means that you're flat out a socialist or a communist or whatever. So it's very difficult to know what words to use these days, but you kind of got an understanding that, hey, there is a deep state. There is a criminal enterprise. And they literally control the big money spheres in America and around the world. They also control the outcome of most false flag operations. And they use the Hegelian dialectic to always propagate for more government. Is that what you discovered?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Problem, reaction, solution. Yes, indeed. The Hegelian dialectic. I started learning about it, and pieces started to fit together about how large the myriad of deceptions were. And if you can picture a skydiver, head down, trying to gain as much speed, just plummeting, rocketing towards Earth. That was me in the rabbit hole for, 10 years. I just became voracious about learning about what was going on in the world and learning discernment, learning how to triangulate a position of understanding based on, learning, you know, who had conflicts of interest when reporting stories, who has something to gain from not being honest, and maybe more importantly, learning to sniff out those people like yourself that are just passionate about being decent and honest and getting to the bottom of things and sharing that. And that, it's just been a wild ride for 15, 18 years of learning more and more about how many good people there are out there versus this other, almost a separate type of human being on the planet that is really satanic in nature, I've come to understand, and is all about dishonesty and bettering themselves at the expense of others and the need to dominate and control and deceive. And it's just been an incredible, incredible journey. Absolutely astonishing.
All right, let's talk about the beginning, because as you woke up after 9/11, one of the things that you got a name for is your incredible work with, and you mentioned that, and that's why I asked you, kind of, you grew up in California, because you were known for Stuart Howe, We Are Change LA. That's maybe, if you've heard of Stuart, you're not sure where from, that's where, right?
Yeah, that was us. That was We Are Change LA. I co-founded that group. It started out... you know, there's that expression that, you know, first you feel the feeling, then you think the thought, then you talk the talk, and then you walk the walk. And when I had felt the feeling that something was wrong and learned about what was going on, I gained enough knowledge. I wasn't comfortable not sharing it, not getting out in the world and doing something about it. Because, of course, as you know, being aware of these machinations and not doing anything about it is you become party to it. And the only thing needed for evil to flourish is for good people to stand by and do nothing. And I understood that innately. So I gravitated towards a group of 9/11 truth activists, and we started doing stuff, and their meetings turned into big arguing festivals over, you know, whether there's planes or no planes, or, you know, whether it's thermite or particle beams or God only knows what. So a core group of us who actually wanted to do something got together, and we formed We Are Change LA. And the first thing we did was a video response to Bill Maher, because Bill Maher, you know, had been the big comedian. He was kind of the Joe Rogan, you know, of that time. People went to him for news and whatnot. He really was insulting to the 9/11 truth movement. So we did a comical, good-natured, in-your-face, back-at-you, big guy type video. And it went absolutely mega viral around the planet. Millions of people watched it. It was one of the first things to go viral, I believe, as far as YouTube videos. And that kind of launched us. We were getting calls from around the world to do interviews, and that propelled us into doing direct confrontations, polite, good-natured, you know, the emperor wears no clothes type of situations. People would pay for us to go into $500 a plate lunches for the LA World Affairs Council. I was able to confront the director of the Central Intelligence Agency politely but pointedly, and all kinds of people like that. You know, the head of the Council on Foreign Relations. I was really upset after seeing our mayor at the time, maybe it was just after he was mayor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, wearing a Nazi SS death's head skull belt buckle on the cover of Time magazine with Bloomberg. And I researched it. It turned out it was accurate, and I confronted him. And the list went on and on. We went to Washington, D.C. and put peer-reviewed paperwork about nanothermite and controlled demolition into the hands of senators and congresspeople. And it was a rude awakening to see what bald-faced con artists these politicians are. So it's not surprising
to me. Let me stop you there, because, Stuart, it was a two-way rude awakening. They were getting a rude awakening that the people knew and that were going to fight back and do something, number one. You're getting a rude awakening because you're going, you know what, these thugs, I thought I was going to let them know something. They already know and they don't care, right?
You're exactly right. No, that was half of the wake-up call for me. The second half of the wake-up call was after, okay, there's a situation here. A, these people were clearly just deceptive, you know, demons who, you know, relied on subterfuge and con artistry. And then later I learned that a lot of people, once they become exposed to this information in the public, they didn't want to know, they weren't prepared to know, even if the facts were plain, you know, the proof about 9/11 or, you know, any of these situations that have happened, it's pretty darn obvious. But people lack the, well, I guess it's described very well that it's easier to fool people than it is to get them to admit they've been fooled. And that has been the astonishing component to me. And nothing really has changed from 9/11 to this COVID rollout, to this, you know, this big push, this endgame push for global tyranny and domination through con artistry. And that's a little bit challenging to deal with, because I really was naive enough and ignorant enough in the beginning to think that, oh, if other people were exposed to the information I've been exposed to, they'll come around and they'll stand up and they will oppose this stuff.
But let me stop you there, Stuart. You say you were ignorant, and I think you're a little hard on yourself, although I agree that it's the lack of knowledge that can sink us all, right? But what I'm getting at is most people right now are currently in the shoes you were in then. They believe that society is good. They want society to be good. They believe that, A, the things that are going wrong, or maybe there's a couple of bad apples or bad guys, but for the most part, things are on the up and up, and it's hard to cross that Rubicon into reality, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And harder for some people than others, and I just have to accept that and not try to keep pushing to wake up somebody who's pretending to be asleep, because it can't be done. If somebody who has just latched on to the fallacies, that's their choice. God bless them.
We're going to continue to pray for them. We're going to continue to try to work to influence them. We're going to use all our efforts to stand for the sacred cause of liberty, ladies and gentlemen. My guest, Stuart Howell, he's a well-known talk show host on republicbroadcasting.org with his incredible weekend show, The White Rose Resistance Hour. We continue in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, spread the word, tell the tale. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. Our guest, Stuart Howell, he got in the Patriot movement by waking up on 9/11 going, what on earth has gone on? He started to dig, research, truth comes out. Hey, we've been defrauded on this thing. It's a false flag. It's a sham. He then gets involved in We Are Change and starts We Are Change LA, and We Are Change started before you got involved. You just put together the LA chapter, right?
Absolutely, yeah, that's true, man. Big props to Luke Radowski, who started the original We Are Change out of New York, and it was him speaking to the power, standing up and calling out Zygmunt Brzezinski, I believe it was. You know, he was a young kid at the time in his 20s, and he put a pointed question, accusation/question. pointedly yet politely at a large meeting in New York, and he was literally chased out of the place. They tried to get his footage, and I thought, you know what? Knowing what I know now and coming to know more, if that young guy can do that, I'm in. I want some of that. Because I saw how powerful it was. It just sent shockwaves through this room of 800 politicians and reporters and citizens. And I thought, you know what? I can do that. I need to get out there and do that. I need to be, I need to step out of the bleachers and onto the playing field.
It's really a call out, a call for the halt of the con game is what it is, because these people meet in secret and they've done so for decades relatively peacefully, and nobody calling them on the carpet. You've got the media in bed at these fine wine dinners and all this kind of crap, and what you get is these guys basically cover up for it. I remember where I learned about this was in the early 90s, and there was a lot of talk show hosts that went on the White House lawn, and they literally did a broadcast fest from the White House. And so they were on the air, and, you know, but then behind the scenes, they all had steak dinner with George. Yeah. And I remember going, yeah, are you kidding me right now? And none of these talk show hosts really reported it by choice. But if they were called out, they'd just be like, oh, yeah, George is graceful. The president and his lovely wife, graceful, nice, you know, people and stuff like that. Wow. And but they wouldn't really talk about it. And then when it really got pushed to shove and we dug in, then the talk show host started saying, well, we've been sworn to secrecy. We're not allowed to talk about, if we accepted the invitation of the White House, we're not really allowed to discuss what went on there. And I'm going, wait a minute, you're a hard-hitting talk show host, and you're telling me that you made a deal with the White House not to tell the tale? And that's when I kind of really realized, hey, man, this is a fraud. This is insanity, Stuart.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, that's sort of to be expected to some degree, although it is a rude awakening, I agree, to come face-to-face with it in the real world. But this this deal with the media, who's there ostensibly as the fourth column of government to keep them in check, they've been masterfully co-opted by our opposition, by the enemy. And so now none of the media, you know, will, you know, whether it's television or newspapers or anybody will stand against this. And very few of them anyway, and if they do, it's generally in a limited way. And, you know, you make a very good point. It brought to mind while you were talking about it, the Bilderberg Group, which I went and, you know, stood up against in Chantilly, Virginia. Now, there is a group, basically the second, you know, outer layer of the steering committees that are steering all this stuff. Meet, you know, every few years in somewhere in the world. They've met several times in Chantilly, Virginia, and it was not only downplayed, it was outright denied to exist by most of our media. And yeah, it is really an astounding thing to see the amount of cover-up and complicity that we see with all of media and all of government.
What we're going to see, ladies and gentlemen, is a greater lockdown if we don't push back. Okay, that's really what's happening, whether it be vaccine mandates that are going to lock you down and keep you in your house, whether it's going to be the cocoa lies and the, quote, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, all the way from complete lockdowns to, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, complete lockdowns in society. What do they call that? Something law.
Incarceration.
Yeah, incarceration, but there's something law that they call it. Anyway, I'll have to think of it. I'm sorry, I'm missing a word here. Either way, though, they're going to push to lock us down, whether it be climate change they're going to use, whether it be COVID or cocoa they're going to use. It's all based on lies, and they're going to lock us down if we don't push back. And what I found fascinating is everybody loved We Are Change, but it didn't really continue enough, did it?
No, and that was astonishing to me. I thought, you know, since I had basically been
martial law, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Martial law,
this is what I was looking for. I don't know why that word slipped my mind. I'm so sorry. Martial law, that's what they're pushing for all of us, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, continue, Stuart, because I believe that We Are Change is one of the keys to call a halt and wake people up, but it didn't really stick and last enough like I had hoped.
Yeah, I was surprised not to see more people pick up the recipe and go and face off and stand up against these people and be willing to say, you know, the emperor wears no clothes, no legitimacy to what you're telling us. You have no credibility and you don't have the authority to do these things. Now, I will say there's big exceptions to that now. I've seen some really, really encouraging footage. One of the clips came out of San Diego, California, I believe, where hundreds, 200 or 300 citizens showed up at a city council meeting and took turns, each of them took 3 minutes, to just completely berate and call out all of their, you know, representatives over this huge fraud that is this COVID nonsense and the vaccinations and the, you know, all of it. Basically, like you said, martial law. And that was encouraging to see. We see people starting to be pushed to the point where they're, you know, being shoved out of their comfort zone. And I think there's probably more of that sentiment than the media or the channels that our news comes to us in many forms will let us be aware of. I really think there is a large contingent of people that are just on the verge of being willing to speak up and act out because it's becoming more and more obvious that we need to.
Well, and I think you're right. And the reason that I spend so much time on We Are Change, even though, you know, it seems like it's kind of fallen out of favor to some degree. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, to what I'm about to say. Founded by Luke Rakowski, We Are Change is a nonpartisan, that's critical to understand, independent media organization comprised of individuals and groups working to expose corruption worldwide. Okay, that is a stellar mission, ladies and gentlemen. We need that big time. And the reason that I'm bringing it up now is now that everybody's willing to yell, let's go Brandon and whatever else, which I'm not in favor of, because I don't believe it does anything. I just think it lets us go to the moral low ground as we say F the president or whatever. I don't think it does us any good at all. It's just a disaster, waste of time. They love to bait us into things that don't make any difference, but yet let us kind of vent, if you will. We need to do things like We Are Change that literally exposes fraud and creates accountability and starts discussions. When Stewart walks in as We Are Change and finds out that, hey, the Terminator is really a Nazi, is really an enemy of the people and a communist or whatever, you kind of go, wait a minute now, hold on. And people wake up. And then there's discussions if he ever runs for office or whoever he backs for office. You start to have discussions that end up on the campaign stage like Ron Paul with the Federal Reserve and this kind of stuff. You get a chance to bring this out in the public and investigate it. And the truth, the light, the cockroaches scramble. Okay, that's what we're talking about, right, Stuart?
Absolutely, yeah, getting the cockroaches to scramble. And until people see it, well, I'll just speak for myself, until I saw it, until I saw Luke Rodowski just stand up as a good-natured young man and, you know, citizen and just say, hey, your lies don't hold water and you don't represent us and it's all BS and we know it's all BS. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing, of course. I didn't see that as a way to go. But once I saw it, it struck a chord in me. And other people have had that chord struck in them. You obviously have. And so I want to bring that to other people. I try to speak the truth to the best of my ability every situation I'm in, which has cost me family. I don't get invited to Thanksgiving anymore. It's cost me friends. It's cost me jobs. It's cost me relationships. But I have the comfort of knowing that I am living in a state of wanting the truth and wanting to live the truth to the best of my ability. And that is really comforting. I don't need the Porsches anymore. I don't need the, you know, the Ocean View place with the, you know, 9/11 in the driveway. It'd be nice to have them back, but it needs to be built on top of this foundation of decency and liberty and honesty and, you know, being a good citizen and doing was expected, you know, by God and by, you know, the laws of nature and the universe to be part of the
ladies and gentlemen, the 9/11 false flag created the non-need for the 9/11 in the driveway, ladies and gentlemen. That's how Stewart woke up, and you can wake up too, ladies and gentlemen. How do you wake up and not be woke? I'm just trying to figure that out. You can become a truth teller. Let's say it like that. Stewart Howell has become one of those. Not only was he with We Are Change LA, but now he's the host of the White Rose Resistance Hour on republicbroadcasting.org every Saturday night. Quick pause.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
New unemployment numbers from the Labor Department were just released. The number of Americans seeking first-time jobless benefits dropped again last week. Initial filings for unemployment benefits, seen as a proxy for layoffs, fell to 269,000. That's down 14,000 from the prior week's level. The Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration, or OSHA, is giving employers with more than 100 employees a January 4th deadline to comply with President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate and threatening thousands of dollars in fines for defiant businesses. Considering an airborne virus outside of a hospital environment a work hazard is a first for the agency. Separate from OSHA, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services are issuing a rule to require health workers in facilities that participate in Medicare and Medicaid be fully vaccinated. The CMS rule also goes into effect January 4th. This is USA Radio News.
With confusion around vaccinations, masks, and public screenings, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign, so make sure to use an accurate thermometer for your family. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and cannot be relied on. Be vigilant and be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
From city streets to back roads, from road warrior to carpooler, there are some things you can always count on, like the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. No matter where your journey takes you, count on DieHard to get you started on the road ahead. Available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores.
Although a recount has been requested, it looks as if the governor's mansion in New Jersey will not have a new occupant.
Thank you, New Jersey!
No, that's not Bruce Springsteen, but it is the newly reelected New Jersey governor, Democrat Phil Murphy, celebrating last night after Tuesday's election results finally came into focus. It appears he has won with a lead of under 20,000 votes over the Republican challenger, Jack Cittarelli, a New Jersey Assembly member. Governor Murphy celebrating.
The first Democratic governor reelected in the great state of New Jersey since my dear friend, the late Governor Brendan Byrne, did this in 1977.
In the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The company Smartmatic filed separate defamation lawsuits against Newsmax and One America News Network Wednesday, accusing the networks of knowingly peddling disinformation about its voting technology during the 2020 presidential election. They say a disinformation campaign harms Smartmatic's business model. USA Radio News.
Live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, vote fraud all over the country. You can tell they're melting down all of a sudden in what, New Jersey? They just had this guy. He was way behind, then all of a sudden, magically, just like Joe Biden, voila. Now he's the new guy in office, and no one's supposed to question how that all happened. It's just, I mean, I don't mean to be rude, ladies and gentlemen. It's almost comical. But just imagine if we had We Are Change folks confronting folks about vote fraud everywhere. It can be done peacefully. It can be done kindly. It can be done professionally, but it must be done. Ladies and gentlemen, Stuart Howe with me. And he was with We Are Change LA. Now he does an incredible show on republicbroadcasting.org called the White Rose Resistance Hour. Doing a great job on your radio every weekend. Do you have a website to promote where people can get it during the week and listen on demand too, Stuart?
Yeah, absolutely. That would just be RBN. republicbroadcasting.org.
All right, and you can look for the White Rose Resistance Hour. Archives are there all the time, and so check that out. But, Stuart, this is really interesting. I think we need to be our change now. And I mentioned right before the pause the chants, you know, let's go Brandon and whatever else. Those chants are worthless, and I think they just degrade us, and we lose the moral high ground. But if you do the We Are Change plan, you actually make a difference and expose criminals for who they really are, and that's kind of key. So I'm hoping we can have a resurgence of We Are Change. Do you think it's possible?
I do. I think we've seen that to a bit, and I think we'll see more of it. And because you hit the nail on the head, absolutely, Sam, this needs to be done peacefully, respectfully, and I would add with a sense of humor. because that is one thing they cannot counter. When you ridicule them for how over-the-top ridiculous these attempts are to lie and deceive people, they have no response. And I laughed in the face of presidential speechwriter David Frum, arch neocon David Frum, on camera, basically just called him out for you know, being a member of the Project for a New American Century, that, you know, the PNAC gang that wrote the white paper about what they needed to have happen on 9/11, you know, a year before 9/11. He said they needed a, they said they needed a catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. And I just laughed in his face on film, and he was so perplexed and befuddled and angry, he got up and assaulted me, hit me three times with a water bottle. And I just kept laughing. And there's nothing they can do, you know, if you are, you know, a little bit eloquent, a little bit, you know, peaceful, respectful, and with humor. And, yeah.
Well, and not only that, it takes a little bit of knowledge, though, too, though. You got to walk in with a little bit of understanding of the issues that you're confronting so that you don't get made a fool of. So you got to have a little bit of knowledge beneath it. And that's why you could just simply laugh, is because you had the knowledge when he tried to play games and try to get the upper hand. To where he just kind of melted down, right?
Yeah, it's undeniable. Yeah, what you're saying is very true. You know what you're talking about. A good example of that was I was able to go into the L.A. World Affairs Council and confront Michael V. Hayden, General Michael Hayden. He was the head of the NSA on 9/11, and he was the standing director of the Central Intelligence Agency when I confronted him at a huge gala, you know, $500 plate luncheon or whatever it was. And I did my research. I knew what I was talking about. I was able to access the writings in one of their publications, Atlantic something, where the CFR writes, you know, their white papers and articles. And I was able to pull up on their website the text from a speech that he gave, Michael Hayden gave, in Germany, where he quoted the German defense minister about how to get around the Constitution. And I was able to...
Hold on, stop for a minute. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen, and nobody knows about it, but We Are Change exposes it. Think about what kind of accountability that creates. Think about what kind of transparency that demands. Think about what kind of appropriate precursor to prosecution for criminal activities by these people. They have sworn an oath, ladies and gentlemen, before God, that they will uphold the supreme law of the land. And now he's literally educating on how to undermine the very thing he swore to uphold. Sir, you're talking about treason now.
Absolutely. And he thought he could distance himself from that sentiment and from those you know, attempts to get around the Constitution by not stating it as his own idea, but as quoting, well, I believe it was Wolfgang Schauber, the head of the German defense ministry. And he was speaking to a group of his, you know, his cohorts at the Council on Foreign Relations. But if you want to know what's going on, you can do a little bit of, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. And I just, you know, thought I'm going to go look and see what their internal documents, what they say to each other behind closed doors. And it was on their website. And I confronted him with that. And he was flabbergasted in front of this room of hundreds of people. He got quiet. And then he said, well, you've certainly done your research on the Council on Foreign Relations. So, you know, there you go. I mean, me, a surfer from Venice Beach, stopped him in his tracks, and, you know, the head of the CIA basically, you know, gave me a little compliment there on my intel. So, you know, it's not that difficult, and I encourage everybody to learn what they can, know what they're talking about, and I think a lot of people are doing just that. There are a lot of people that can tell you why it's not a good idea to line up and take this injection that's being passed off as a vaccine. You know, there's a lot of people that have done their due diligence in certain areas where they're motivated to, and they can apply that to these, you know, larger issues. So when they have a conversation, they can be polite and calm and maybe have a sense of humor and respectfully put some facts out, you know, some facts that have been gained when discernment, so they can help other people, you know, come to good conclusions and take good action.
I know that Rand Paul is not We Are Change, but on the Senate floor, he certainly acts like We Are Change when he exposes Fauci for his criminal activity. Caught him in a lie of gain-of-function research, doubled down, brought out the docs, proved the point. Now we realize Fauci's a criminal and must be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And Rand Paul has literally pushed for a criminal prosecution, so he sent a criminal complaint forward. It's not enough. We need to confront Anthony Fauci everywhere. We need to be polite. I'm not advocating for any violence. Don't play games and say that I am. That's a lie. But I am saying that, look, we need to basically get the truth out and find out where people stand. I like a lot of the on-the-street interviews, too, where we find out what Americans know and don't know about things that some of the people have been doing on-the-street interviews as well. So we are a change I'm hoping can come back somehow, because we really need to get these people on record. And that's really the point, putting them on record, either lying so we can prosecute them for their lies and or admitting the truth. Either way, though, it exposes truths that must have the light shined on them, Stuart.
Absolutely. And the other side of that, I completely agree with you, is we need more people like Rand Paul in positions to be able to do something about it. Also bring back rule of law, because it's one thing to expose this stuff, but if it gets exposed and there's no accountability, it just becomes normalized. And that's the last thing we want. Like all of these revelations about pedophilia and criminality at the highest levels, whether it's Biden's laptop or all this stuff, there needs to be, we need to bring back rule of law. I'm not advocating for guillotines on the White House lawn, but I mean, we really need to see, we need to see the Clintons in jail. Then we'll know we're moving in the right direction. Although I love Rand Paul and, of course, Ron Paul, who I've met with and talked with a couple of times, there needs to be a resurgence of rule of law in the infrastructure that allows for prosecution. So all this needs to happen. You're exactly right. When citizens need to get out there, but I think a lot of our politicians need to, have their backbones replaced and grow a set, and get on with it. I'm very fortunate to be in North Idaho currently, and we have great legislators up here and great sheriff, and I'd like to see these people in the seats of power that can help the rule of law have a resurgence, become encouraged by seeing each other standing up, and I think we're moving in that direction out of necessity.
Yes, we are, ladies and gentlemen. Stuart Howe with me. He's with the White Rose Resistance Hour, and it's on republicbroadcasting.org every Saturday afternoon. You can check that out. And then, of course, it's on demand at republicbroadcasting.org anytime. You can listen anytime you want to the archives, download them, or click to listen live and more. How did you then decide to get into radio? Let's talk about that.
Oh, that's interesting. When this whole COVID nonsense rolled out, I was living in Pahrump, Nevada, a little town. And everything locked down. Everybody put masks on. And there was such a high degree of compliance to what was, to me, I had been to the rodeo before with 9/11 and other things. I just thought, oh my God, we're doomed. People are going along with this nonsense. And I was looking for inspiration on the internet, and I came along across a monthly newsletter written by Heather Scott, of State Representative Heather Scott.
Yeah, from Idaho. We know her well.
She is awesome. And I read this newsletter. I thought, oh, my God, the spirit of honesty and decency in politics is not done. And she talked about how her county had, sheriffs that were constitutional. And this was all going on in North Idaho. And I looked into North Idaho. I looked into Sandpoint, this particular county where she was and the sheriff was. I thought, I got to get there. I got to go there. And that's where I landed. I basically just came up here and found a job through Craigslist and started a new life up here. And I'll tell you, man, it is really great being around like-minded people. I don't see almost anybody wearing a mask.
Most All right, stay are... there, Stuart. Stuart Howell, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting. He started radio in Pahrump, Nevada. That's where he kind of decided to start radio. That's where Art Bell was broadcast.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know. I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family. Isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where did all these cats come from?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com. Spread the word, tell the tale. LovingLiberty.net, our syndicated radio network. So, ladies and gentlemen, Governor Newsom, where the heck is Gavin? People are asking. I know this is a slight change from what we're talking about right now, but I want to insert this news before the end of the hour. Where the heck is Gavin? Governor Newsom disappears for 11 days following booster jab. So the guy gets the cocoa jab. I don't mean to laugh at him, but ladies and gentlemen, this just highlights that they're lying to you about how safe and effective it is. Okay, this guy literally takes the booster jab, and now he hasn't been seen in 11 days. Everybody's going, hey, man, have you seen the governor? Where the heck's Gavin? What's going on? Well, the guy took a cocoa booster, and now he doesn't want to be seen anywhere. Is he all right? I don't mean to mock if he's really in health trouble, but this just highlights the criminal activity and the dishonesty that has been peddled by the mainstream press in bed with Fauci and crew. This is insanity, ladies and gentlemen. When would we let a governor just disappear for 11 days? Back in the day, a governor is missing for a day or two, and we're like, where is he? Oh, he's in Argentina with an affair kind of stuff. Now it's 11 days. No one seemed to be even hollering about it at all. Stuart?
Yeah, I don't know. Who's having Gavin? I haven't seen the guy.
And so I think we are changed. We are changed needs to go ask some of the staff members when they're walking into the staff building, where the heck's Gavin?
I'll tell you what, you know, I'd like to win the lottery and get a little van and, you know, have a little camper and just show up everywhere I can with a camera and a little posse and get back into that. It's a funding thing. You know, if there's anybody out there that wants to write a large check, man, I will go back into it in a second. In a second, I would do that.
Yeah, we'll work on helping him syndicate his show from the road. We'll have him on about 10 or 15 shows that are all patriots across the country.
That's
wherever
right.
He shows up somewhere, man, he'll show up in some place. And then we'll basically say, hey, you know what? Stewart's in town. Here's what's going on. We'll get little updates on all our talk shows across the country. It could be incredible, ladies and gentlemen, but I agree. It's all a funding difficulty right now for a lot of things, not just this example, but we need a lot of funding. But you've managed to move to Idaho now. Northern Idaho. You're around like-minded patriots, as you were saying, and you were telling us how you created the White Rose Resistance Hour, right?
Yeah, actually, I found out about Heather Scott and the constitutional sheriffs up here, and I came up here, and once I got up here, I had a friend pay me for a month to be an activist, and I was going to, door-to-door and putting up flyers about the mask, and I was going to city council meetings and school board meetings that were being taped on video and standing up and basically saying, you know, the emperor wears no clothes. This is a fraud. If you look at the PCR, you know, assay that's being called a test, you know, the person that invented it, Carrie Mullis, says this can't be used as a test. It's fraudulent. It holds no water. And I spent a month doing that. And then I found out that Ingrid Cassell had a radio show. Her husband had had a large newspaper up here. Got to know her at peoplesrights.org meetings. And she said, hey, there's an hour opening up on RBN, on Republic Broadcasting. You should go online and submit an application to have a radio show. And that was the last thing, you know, I had thought of doing. But I was getting such a charge out of being reinvigorated in North Idaho, you know, after several years of not doing anything with We Are Change LA, that I put in an application. And one day I'm at a loud coffee house, and John Stadmiller called. God rest his soul. Rest in peace, John. And I was gruff with him because I didn't know who it was. It was an out-of-state area code, and he was kind of gruff with me. We kind of grumbled back and forth, and he said, okay, send us some bumper music, and you're going to go on next Saturday. I said, okay, here we go. And so I've been on the air. I've done 40 episodes of the White Rose Resistance Hour, which is, of course, an homage to the White Rose Resistance to Hitler in the late 30s, early 40s in Germany. And I was very inspired by them, a group of college students. So, yeah, it's been an interesting ride. I've had great guests, including Heather Scott and Ammon Bundy and yourself and other, you know, wonderful guests. And I get to share that with people. And it, you know, it lights the fire. It stokes the fires in my heart to bring, you know, some light to, you know, our situation and our need to return to rule of law and a constitutional republic. And, yeah, it's been really fun. It's been a wild ride. So thank you, Sam.
I want to talk about Resistance Hour because you think, ladies and gentlemen, that's hostile in your face. When you think about the White Rose Resistance Hour, though, and you kind of hail back to that historical reference and reality check, it's quite different. That was not a hostile movement against Hitler, though. It was a peaceful intent, wasn't it?
It was. It was very much intellectual and philosophical and good-hearted and good-natured. It was started by brother and sister, Sophie Scholl and Hans Scholl, and a few of their college friends at the University of Munich in the late 30s, 38 or 39. And they wrote up a 6th and then a 7th leaflet and distributed them clandestinely through the university system. And, you know, they tagged walls and did graffiti to resist totalitarianism. And although we've been lied to about you know, a lot of what went on in World War II and Hitler, it was very much statism and very much not representative government and very much oppressive, and it was not a good thing, and they knew it, and they intellectually and in a good-natured philosophical way stood in direct opposition to that. And so that's what I've been wanting to pay respects to and to bring back, that good-natured lack of compliance, you know, with authoritarianism and with forms of government that aren't, you know, representative government and don't have the restraint of a constitution.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, they want you to believe that we're the ones that are involved in what's called civil disobedience or whatever, as if somehow they're the authority and we're being disobedient to their civil authority. This is where it's all wrong. That's why I love the White Rose Resistance Hour and the idea of the White Rose Resistance, because it says, look, you guys are the criminals. We're going to expose you as criminals. We're going to do it with the liberties that we have. And yes, if you take away our liberties, it might be against the, quote, law, but it's not really against God's law. It's not really against the laws of liberty and the laws of understanding that government authority comes and is derived from the consent of the governed. That's kind of
Absolutely.
The difference here that we need to really articulate, because who's who in
Absolutely.
This battle is the point, Stuart.
Yeah, very true. You know, we are basically a counter coup. We are not looking to overthrow the government. We're just looking to weed the criminals out of the government structure and return it to a rule of law and a representative governmental situation restrained by the enumerated powers, in the case of the federal government, of the Constitution. You know, all the stuff they're doing, I mean, it lies way outside of the realm of what they are empowered by the people, as you very well point out, to do, which is print some currency, keep our borders secure. And that's pretty much it. There are, like, you know, I think there are four things that the, you know, federal government is supposed to do. And at the bottom of it all, I'd like to, you know, kind of say it's very important that at the root of all this is that, you know, they get their power, as you said, from us, from we the people, and they are not a ruling class. Now, they are representative of we the people. We are our own, you know, authorities. We are each other's, you know, we are the supreme sovereign individuals in this nation. They are not our overlords. Then they want to return us to a feudal society with the governing ruling class and then a peasant class. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And it's not okay. And we're just not going to let them get away with it.
All right, Stuart, do you know who Helmut Huebner is?
The name rings a bell, but no, I don't.
All right. Helmut Huebner, ladies and gentlemen, was a youth in Hitler's Germany. In Wikipedia, there's an article on it to kind of catch you up on who he is. But he lived from 1925 to 1942. He was a German youth who was executed at age 17. He got beheaded for his opposition to the Nazi regime. Anyway, he was involved in, quote, the German resistance and did a phenomenal job and gave his life for the cause. Well, two of his friends lived to tell more of the tale and eventually came to the United States. It's a very fascinating, riveting story on along the lines of what your whole talk show intends to mirror, if you will.
Awesome. That is awesome.
All right. Anyway, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's really important to kind of understand. All right, what do you have for final thoughts for us? What do you plan to do in the future with your show? And, man, I hope we can find funding to get you on the road.
Yeah, I'd like to do more of that. I'll tell you what, it is a bit of a selfish indulgence. It became sport for me to track down and confront these criminals. I mean, I love being able to stand up instead of the CIA or the governor or whoever it was, a congressperson or senator, and in a good-natured way, call them out on their atrocious BS. And I would love to do more of that, whether it's on the air or... You know, my preference would be, you know, to be able to drive to state capitals, to go to the scene of events that are unfolding, to be, you know, there to tell the truth about what's going on with the next false flag. I'd like to be able to show up at a Las Vegas-style shooting or a Pulse nightclub, you know, event and be able to just really report on what's going on the ground. But that takes, you know, that takes funding. That takes the ability to have a... You know, a little caravan, a nice laptop, a decent camera, and maybe a partner. I'd love to have Casey Whalen, you know, partner up with Casey Whalen, who has a wonderful YouTube channel called North Idaho Exposed, and he is a model citizen journalist. In fact, he is basically We Are Change North Idaho. If he were to change his name, he would be a stellar example of We Are Change, but he just doesn't call himself that. So, yeah, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to stay in it and let things unfold, you know, through God's magnificent, you know, way of having things come together and getting back on the front lines, because it certainly is needed.
If you had 20 seconds, you could say anything to the world that you wanted to say. What would you say?
I love you, and follow your good-natured higher self. Be bold. You know, we're going to have defeats and we're going to have victories, but few victories can rival the initial victory of parting company with your fellow spectators and stepping into the arena. And in whatever way that means to you, you know, whether it's speaking up at a discussion around the water cooler at work or getting to a school board meeting to tell the people at that meeting that you're not going to allow your children to be vaccinated or injected or wear a mask or whatever it is, you know, have the courage, take a shot, you know, get involved. And once you feel that, it's one thing to think about it and have the fear of doing it initially. But what I've found and what most people find is once you really walk through the fear and do it, you feel this wonderful sense of empowerment and that you're on God's team, that you're definitely doing the work of a good-hearted citizen. And I just encourage everybody to step out of their comfort zone and to not comply.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's hard to do. You feel like, man, that's just not my deal to talk about politics or to talk about religion. You know, I was always taught not to. We, ladies and gentlemen, have a liberty discussion here. It's not politics. It's moral. And this moral discussion says I need to stand up and preserve liberty, not only for myself, but for those around me and for future generations. This isn't something that we can shrink from. This is something that we must act in our generation, in our time. We must be at the right place in the right time to make a difference for the sacred cause of liberty. Get on your knees and ask God how you fit in, then get up and go to work. Stuart Howe, thank you so much for your time, sir.
My pleasure, Sam. Thank you for having me on. It was a great hour. It went by too fast. I'm happy to come on anytime that you like.
We'll have you back. Stuart, ladies and gentlemen, is host of the White Rose Resistance Hour. It's every Saturday afternoons on the Republic Broadcasting Radio Network, republicbroadcasting.org, for the live show every weekend and on demand anytime that fits your schedule. There he goes, Stuart Howell, doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. And I, Sam Bushman, along with Stuart, say, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore our grand old republic. But you got to get involved. Make it a great day and choose the right, will you? This nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.